Thank you very much. In honor of the, in honor of the upcoming Achnosas Sefer Torah, the dedication of the Sefer Torah this morning, we'll discuss one particular aspect of the mitzvah, of the obligation that the Torah places upon every Jew to write their own Sefer Torah. Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis that Torah says V'ato kisvu lachem es hashira azos. I'll do my best. V'ato kisvu lachem es hashira azos. Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael the end of Parshas Vayelech, towards the very end of Sefer Dvarim, you should write the song. The Gemara says that this song refers to the Sefer Torah. Why would the Sefer Torah be called a Shira, be called a song? Sefer Torah is a Sefer, a book of laws, a book of obligations and direction. The last thing we refer to is a song. Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal suggested that if a person comes to town, if we have a lecturer coming to town, a lecturer coming to town, and the lecturer is well advertised, and people decide, are they going to attend the lecture or not? So they look at the topic, see if the topic interests them. Look at the lecturer, see if they've heard of him before. See if maybe others have heard of him. See if the topic speaks to them. Sometimes a topic will be an idea which they've studied many, many times and doesn't hold their interest. And sometimes the topic will be one which seems to be above their grasp. Many of us, if we're not involved in the sciences, and a physicist comes to town and he speaks about some of the properties of the dynamics of an electron, of isotopes, so it says, that's not for me. I'm not going to get that much out of it. And if a person who's involved in sciences may decide not to go to a lecture that speaks about some of the syntax of a Shakespearean comedy, he's not going to get much out of it. But if the Philharmonic comes to town, people say, no matter who you are, whether you appreciate the various movements, whether you appreciate the genius of the conductor, of the various players, whether you simply enjoy the rhythm, the cadences of the music, it simply allows you to appreciate the depth of the music or to let your mind soar to different heights. Everyone says, "If I'm going to get something out of it." So Yoshev says that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us about the study of Torah. Any part of the study of Torah speaks to the heart of every Jew. And it matters little whether a person will appreciate the depth of a Rambam or a Tosfos, or whether a person will just hear the simple words of the giants and the sages of the Jews. Everyone will understand. Everyone will walk away with something. It'll impact the thinking of every listener. That's why the Torah is called Ashira. And this morning we come to together to celebrate the writing of another Shira. So we celebrate the meaningfulness of every Sefer Torah to every Jew, and every Torah to the Jewish community. Therefore, it's a great kavod for me to present this morning about the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. It is of particular closeness to my heart because I had the schus many years ago to have Dr. Eli Grunstein in my shir, and he's been ola mala mala ever since. A practitioner of medicine of great note in our community, but even more important than his own expertise is the manner in which he administers medicine and the care. I've had the members of my own shul that been rushed in on a Friday afternoon and when we rush into hospital, it's always difficult. But on a Friday afternoon, it increases the tension, the anxiety. They were met by Dr. Grunstein late Friday morning with a sense of peacefulness and calm and a sense of care and concern and expertise that then guided them through. And of course, many of you from our town in Teaneck can celebrate together with the Grunstein family. It's of course humbling for me and to have with us for this presentation our president, Dr. Joel, and Dr. Joel, and I thank you for joining us this morning at this event. What I presented so far is the consensus of most Rishonim, of most of the early authors, that the mitzvah of the writing of the Sefer Torah is based on the bold face pasuk on the second page of the sheets in front of you, that is referring to the entirety of the Torah. One looks at the very last pasuk of source number one, pasuk lamed. Vayidaber Moshe b'oznei kol kal Yisrael es divrei ashira azos ad tumam. Then Moshe spoke and made all the Jews understand. Vayidaber b'oznei, to speak in the ears, means to make the Torah understood by all. Es divrei ashira azos ad tumam, the entirety. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that's how we know that the song is referring to the entirety of Torah. But let's look together at a very, very difficult Rambam. And that's source number two. When the Rambam records this mitzvah, to write a Sefer Torah, mitzvah saseh al kol ish v'ish mi Yisrael, every Jew, lichtov Sefer Torah li atzmo, to write his own Sefer Torah, she'emar v'ato kesvu lachem es ashira. And now, that's Pasuk Yud Tes, the bold-faced Pasuk in the first source, write this song. Kilomar, Kisvu Lachem Torah, Sheyesh Bo Shirazu. Write this Torah that contains this song. What is the Shira that the Rambam is saying the Pasuk refers to? What is Shirazu? What parsha? Hazinu, right? Hazinu was one of the songs of the Torah. What indicates from the text of the pasuk of the psukim that it's a shira? It's a song. Was that structure? In other words, all of the narratives of Torah are written as a narrative is written. In other words, the psukim flow with various breaks to help us create the paragraphing of the Torah. A shira does not have the normal flow, the presentation of a shira. If it's the Shiras Hayom, if the song that we sang at the Red Sea after leaving Mitzrayim, so then it's a brickwork. There are psukim spaces. If it's Hazinu, then it's two columns. What other shira is two columns? Was that? the 10 sons of Haman. All right, for another day. It's also one of the songs of the Torah, songs of Tanakh, because the 10 sons are written like Ha'azinu is written. In fact, Rav Alpert Zatzal, one of my teachers, one of the Rosh Yeshiva of our yeshiva, he would suggest that the reason why the structure, the written structure, is visibly different is because that's one of the differences between poetry and narrative. What was he referring to? What's the difference between poetry and narrative? One of the major differences. Why is poetry written in short sentences? Rhyme could be one reason. Narrative, who is commanding the flow, the story? Who is speaking the narrative? Right, the author, right? When it comes to poetry, so who's the interpreter of poetry? The reader, right? In other words, the poet is suggesting, but the poet needs the reader to complete the story, and everybody completes poetry in a different fashion. Rav Alpert said that's a shira. A shira has spaces because the reader has to fill in the blanks, and that's one of the reasons why the Torah is called a song, because everyone reads the Torah, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu has given the right to every Jew and the soul of every Jew to introduce their own interpretation, their own understanding of the Torah. So the Rambam says that the song of Ha'azinu, let's read the sentence again, Kolomar kisvu lochem Torah sheyesh bo shira zu. Write the Torah that contains this song. Lefi she'ein kosvin es ha-Torah parshios parshios. Because one cannot write just parts of the Torah. Now, what is striking and difficult about this Rambam? This is the record, go ahead. Right. In other words, we moved from extreme to extreme. We began this year with the position of most Rishonim, the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, because the Torah is called a song. The Ator Kisvu Lachem Es Hashir Azos, write this song. What is this song? It's the Torah. It's Posuk Lamed. It's Divrei Hashir Azos Ad Tumam, including Azina, Vzos Evroch, everything that's going to be said. When the Rambam records this mitzvah, the Rambam is a very, almost a tortured way of describing the mitzvah. Write this song means write Ha'azinu. But you can't just write Ha'azinu. So, since you can't just write Ha'azinu, so write the entirety of the Torah. Right, that's a very strange way to tell us that it's very difficult. What's difficult with this Rambam? How could you question this Rambam? Fill in. That is the Chassam Sofer's question. He says, is it really true that you cannot write parshios? Every day we put on parshios. Every day we've not only have commissioned the Sofer to write parts of the Torah, we wear parts of the Torah. So how could the Rambam say that Ein Kosvin Es HaTorah parshios parshios? Obviously we do write parshios. So the very argument of the Rambam is difficult. And that's what the Chassam Sofer, who's probably one of the most impactful giants since the writing of Shulchan Aruch on Halacha, and on the Jewish thought as well. Chassam Sofer was the Rav of Budapest, of Presburg, but much more importantly, he was the Rav of all of that section of the Oberlander section of Hungary. And by doing so, the Chassam Sofer, he's one of those about whom it said, "Mi Moshe and Moshe lakom kemoshe." From Moshe to the Rambam, Rambam to Rav Shisulis, back to the Chassam Sofer. He is one of the giants. When the Chassam Sofer has a position, then Klal Yisrael is almost always adopted that position. Almost always. So the Chassam Sofer raised this question, and he has this difficulty with his Rambam. How could it be that you can't write parshios, parshios? Gives examples of the parshios in the tefillin. Other examples where a person we are told to write, besides the, obviously, the mezuzah, in the situation of Eshes Sota, correct? You can write the entire parsha. So that leads the Chasam Sofer to make the following distinction, that there are certainly times when we write only a parsha of Chumash, but when we are writing a sefer from which to study the Torah, so then it has to be the entirety of the Torah. We cannot study the tefillin, we're there to remind ourselves of a certain parsha in Chumash. So then we can write that parsha. Mezuzah, remind ourselves as we're coming into our homes, certain parsha. So only that parsha. In our Sidurim, when we finish davening, Seres HaDibros is there, Parshas Hamon. There are people who have the Parsha of the Ketoreth written out on a cloth, they keep it in the talis bags. But when you're studying Torah, you have to study, when you're studying Torah from the cloth, from the Sefer Torah, it has to be the entirety. You can't study one Parsha, you can't recognize one Parsha to be distinct from all other parshas. Why would that make sense? That in the study of Torah, we would not separate out parshas. Right? That's the Rambam's argument, not to separate out the Aseres HaDibros, not to say one parsha stands on its own. Another idea? Where is there Balei Kriya? Where is there a parsha that has absolutely no breaks in the narrative? Vayetze. There is one other parsha. I'm not sure, but probably. Vayetze, there are no breaks, and Balei Kriya tell me, I think it'd be Kates as well. Why are there no breaks? In fact, why are there breaks? Why is there a paragraphing in the Torah? What does Rashi say at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra? Right. Rashi says the only reason there are breaks in the Torah is because the human mind needs breaks. The human mind cannot learn from beginning to end without having any kind of rest. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, whose mind was far beyond the mind of most human beings, even Moshe Rabbeinu needed to have breaks. But Rashi is saying, if not for that, Kadosh Baruch Hu should begin teaching, finish it all up in one shot, because the Torah needs Torah Hashem Temima Mishivas Nafesh. There's an entirety to the Torah. There's a completion. You can't look at one. You look at one particular mitzvah in the absence of others. You don't get the picture. You don't understand what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to accomplish. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to accomplish a wholesomeness. This week's parsha, Ki Sarisa Im Elokim VeAnashim VeTuchal. There's a lifestyle that incorporates people and oneself and one's midos and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all one lifestyle. So to study and isolate one particular parsha, that's why Vayetze is the parsha of Golos. So Chaim Shmulevitz, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, said the reason that there are no breaks in Vayetze is because in order to understand the parsha of Golos, you have to see the full picture. If you look at any one part of Golos, it doesn't make any sense at all. But if you see the beginning of Vayetze to the very, very end, where he meets the Malachim, he's coming back to Israel, then you can begin to make sense of the parsha, Mikates is the parsha of Golos. But the Torah, what we're pointing out is that it makes so much sense that the Torah is written in a complete fashion. So the Rambam writes, when it comes to the study of Torah, and ultimately the writing of the Torah is for the study of the Torah, to be able to read it in the community. One has it in one's home and days gone by, because that's how they learn Torah. They learn it from the cloth, from the scroll. So then one has to realize whatever parsha one's learning, it's part of a much larger picture. But what bothers me is, coming back to the Rambam, let's look at the phrase again. Number two, Mitzvah Saseh Kol Ish V'Ish Yisrael Lechtov Sefer Torah Liatzmo Shneemar V'Ato Kisvu Lachem Es Hashira. Kilomar to say Kisvu Lachem Torah Sheyesh Bo Shira Zu, Torah that has this song inside of it. Lefi, because Shein Kosvin Es Torah Parshas, we can't write the Torah just in piecemeal. So we've explained how to read the Rambam. We've explained how the Rambam came to this conclusion. But what has to pique our interest in terms of this formulation of the mitzvah? In terms of this communicating the mitzvah? If you were writing the Rambam, or if you were Ke'ilu the Rabbonu Shlom, and wanted to give us a mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, right? Kesulachem is divrei haTorah zos. According to Rambam, according to most Rishonim, that's what God said, and God gave us the additional insight that Torah should be used as a shira, viewed as a shira. But according to Rambam, Kadosh Baruch Hu chose a very strange nusach, a very strange style. I want the Jews to write a Sefer Torah, so I'm going to tell them to write Hazinu, and then I'm going to tell them you can't just write Hazinu. You have to write the entire Sefer, right? It's like if you'd hire a Sefer to write your Sefer Torah, and he advertises that he writes very, very, he writes at a very reasonable rate, an entire Sefer, one day's work, they only charge $300, but then you get this, but I can't just write one day's work, I have to write the entire Sefer. So you get the bill for the whole Sefer, you would call that a bait and switch, right? So why is the Rabbonu Shlom saying, write Hazinu? But the fine print says, can't write Hazinu. Isn't that a strange way to formulate a mitzvah that the Baruch Hu wants us to write the entire Sefer? It's led to great speculation. For example, there are those who discuss that if a person has a Sefer Torah, he's written the entire Sefer, and there's a mistake in part of the Sefer, but Hazinu is perfect. So some of the authors of our tradition have speculated, would the Rambam say that's a good Sefer Torah? Because he wrote it and it was all kosher. Halacha l'maaseh, we wouldn't accept that. We wouldn't say it all rests in Hazinu. So if that's the case, how are we to understand the mitzvah? What insight does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want us to have about the mitzvah of the Sefer Torah that he formulates, he constructs it in this way, Hazinu, and make sure Hazinu is written in the right context, in the right setting. It has to be written in the entirety of Torah. That's what I want to discuss in the next 15 minutes or so. What is the insight we're supposed to have? So again, let's just review what we did until now. We pointed out that according to most Rishonim, the mitzvah is a mitzvah to write the Torah, beginning 10. Ashira Zos. Why is it referred to as a shira? We suggested about Yosha's interpretation, because there's something in Torah. The Torah is a concert, and it resonates with everyone on different levels. Why is it called a shira? Alpert says because it requires the input, the insight of the reader to complete every parsha and understand every parsha. Because a person who has lived through the Shoahs, this Sefer Torah is dedicated in their memory, they read Hazinu and they read the Tocha in a far different way than Jews before the Shoah, Jews having the comfort and respite of America after the Shoah. Every Jew reads the Torah in a different fashion. Those are the blanks of the Shira. And then we suggested that we pointed out that the Rambam has a strange formulation. And we explained the formulation, that for the sake of the study of Torah, one has to have the entire Torah. You can't write parshas. But now we're coming to one final, deeper point in the Rambam. We understand what the Rambam was saying. We understand the direction of the Rambam. But according to Rambam, why would the Rabbonu Shalom phrase, or what are we to learn from the fact that the Torah, the mitzvah, was phrased in a strange, contorted way? Write Hazinu, so write the entire Sefer. What is Hazinu? What is the story of Hazinu? The story of Yisrael, history of it. And what is emphasized? Right? Some of the very difficult parshiyos. How does the look at the text, source number one? How does the Kadosh Baruch Hu define the essence of Hazinu? It's a testimony correct? Pasuk Yud Ches. Vanochi hastir astir panai b'yom mahu. Al kol ha-ro'a asher osa kifona el Elohim acherim v'yato kesu lochem es hashir azos. These are the final days of, final hours of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem tells Moshe that his children are going to err and go far flung from where the Torah intends them to be. And posting his Zion, Hashem will get terribly angry with us. And it'll come to the point where we will wonder whether Kadosh Baruch Hu is really viewing and seeing and influencing. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right to wonder. Because Anochi hastir astir panai b'yomu, because in those days I have in fact pulled back. I have in fact removed some of the awareness that you could have of me. I'll call her on, terrible things will happen. V'atok yisru lachem, and now write this shira, write this song. V'lamdos b'nei Yisrael, and teach it. Sima b'fi, and make sure that it's current with them. L'mantiyah li ashira zos le'ein, so that they will always go back to Hazinu and say, this is the program. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu said would happen. There will be terrible moments of Hester upon him, that God is terribly, terribly hidden and clouded from us. That's the essence of the Shira Hazinu. It begins by establishing the world as our Edom, as those who will be aware of it. It describes how God has taken care of us and provided for us, how we've erred, and then pasuk after pasuk, verse after verse, describing how we will feel correctly distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam and terribly suffering because of it. And at the end, the Kadosh Baruch Hu promises that he has never left us. He's only hidden himself from us. And as you said carefully, this is the story of so much of our history since the time of Shlomo HaMelech to this day. And apparently, this is so definitive of the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. I was wondering, why should that be? So I'd like to make two suggestions. Suggestion number one, what is the core of the mitzvah of the study of the Torah? What is the Jew attempting every time he delves into one aspect or one parsha of the Torah? What's he trying to understand? He's trying to learn how to behave, and he's going to learn that from how to act, correct? That's one part. Gain instruction and direction, right? Part of the Masorah, correct? Correct? He learns his behavior because he feels that's what Hashem wants from him, how to behave. And then when he delves deeper, then what's he trying to understand? Really understanding more of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's what his own part. So we're trying to understand our position, but our position through the prism of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when a Jew studies any parsha, of course a Jew is looking for their own direction, but the Jew's understanding more of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When a Jew understands, take any mitzvah of conduct, start with the way a person should behave, we understand that the core of our behavior is Hidamus Elokus. If we're trying to train ourselves to be, have greater patience, it's because the Ribbono Shel Olam is mean of patience. We're trying to gain greater insight into a Kadosh Baruch Hu ultimately. And when we're trying, right? And when we're trying to understand the mitzvah of Ahavas Reyim, of understanding other people, it's because every Jew, Selam Elokim, is a creature of God. Every Jew is Banim Atem L'Hashem L'Keicha. It's because if the Ribbono Shel Olam invested his concern, then we will gain greater closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu with that concern. So the act of the study of Torah is an act of understanding, of revealing more of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the times of Hester Panim, in times when God clouds himself and makes himself more distant, Klal Yisrael writes Sifrei Torah. Klal Yisrael will not let the Ribbono Shel Olam hide. Klal Yisrael, we will study more Torah. Kisu es Ashir Azos, write this song of the Jew, no matter what is happening, always trying to penetrate with greater understanding. If the condition of Klal Yisrael does not speak to the greatness of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if the position of the place of the Beis HaMikdash is, if the position of Yerushalayim does not speak to the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the study of Torah, understanding Him more, the only access we have. As we say in the in Yom Kippur, Le'nishar Elo HaTorah HaZos, what's left for us is we can still penetrate God's and divine insight. And that's the Shira that we with which we write, because that's what's left for us to understand and penetrate that Hester upon him. Give you examples. The Gemara writes that there are times when a person has a new insight in the Torah and he wonders, could it really be correct? Right? Could it really be correct that in Tav Shin Ayin Hei in 2014 I should be able to understand a Rambam better than I understand earlier? Is it conceivable? You go into every Beis HaMedrash and you see Svarim that have been written from the time of the Gemara till yesterday. And you wonder, why was somebody writing yesterday? I mean, either there have been so many before him, there has been a Chassam Sofer and a Ksav Sofer and a Rambo and a Chavim Chaim Moizim and a Shlag Asari and go on and on and on. And if they didn't figure it out, so then why am I trying to creatively understand the Torah? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Hinichu makol lizgad derbo." Kadosh Baruch Hu, ever since the giving of Torah, has hidden certain parts from our understanding, and then allows for them at various times to be understood. Chazanish writes, "The study of Torah is like similar to the study of science. As time proceeds, Kadosh Baruch Hu allows us to understand parts of the human body, the human system, as we need to know them, as we need to discover more and more. Kadosh Baruch Hu allows scientists in various laboratories to peel away more of the human being, to understand deeper, says the Chazanish, the same way as when it comes to Torah. There are reasons why the Kadosh Baruch Hu has hidden certain parts of Torah. The great debate that began in the probably in the times of the Tanoim, and is recorded in various fashions and beats at the heart of Jews to this day. Chochmas Anista. Should we be open about, should we be studying Zohar, studying Kabbalah? Right, the great debate this week's last week, yesterday's parsha, the Ginan Osher, Klei Yoker. Klei Yoker says, you know why we can't eat from the Ginan Osher? Because it's to remind every Jew that what Yaakov Avinu was doing, fighting with a Malach, and then getting hit because of it, and limping away, that's because Yaakov Avinu overreached in his what a human being can accomplish in study. And therefore, because he overreached, Gid is Devorim HaKoshim Kigid, and there are certain parts that are very very difficult, and they were not meant to be revealed until Kadosh Baruch Hu saw fit. I couldn't say it, you couldn't say it. Klei Yoker says that's the Ginan Osher. Yaakov Avinu went beyond his capacity, and we have to learn from that time on there are parts of Torah that are nistar, that are hidden from us. The great insight of the Arizal was that it's time for a change. That Kadosh Baruch Hu said it's time to learn, said the Chochmas HaNistar. That was the Maharal, that was the Baal Shem Tov, the debate which beats at the heart of study to this day. But that's the same question. There is, Kadosh Baruch Hu has determined that parts of Torah are hidden, and there are times, and there are people, and there are places, and there is a laborious effort that gives license to reveal those parts of Torah. And that's what I would suggest is the Shira, is what the Rambam is how to understand this Rambam. Rambam is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu said there it will be times of Hester upon him, and I'm giving you one tool that you will always have with you to understand, to penetrate, to understand me better and deeper. There are times when history will reveal, when you'll see tremendous miracles, and you'll see a Kadosh Baruch Hu be very curt and evident in your lives. We all live through it. Rosh Hashanah. This is past Rosh Hashanah. Right, everybody, I hope, in every Beis HaKnesset, every shul, stopped for a good part of davening and thought what was planned to be on that day would have been the terror of the tunnels. It would have been a davar oyom v'nora if not for Kadosh Baruch Hu's miraculous intervention. It was a nes of our time that we should not cease from discussing or thinking about. That's when the Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself. But there are many times, like 2 weeks ago, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu hit himself terribly. And all he left for us on those days to understand him and penetrate is Hashira Zos, is this Sefer Torah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says the writing of the Sefer can be seen as really the response that God always has for us in times of Hester upon him. And perhaps that's why it is formulated as a mitzvah of writing the Parsha of Azinu and necessarily including the entirety of the Torah. But I want to share with you, when this will close, an insight by Rav Avram Kahneman. And I want to present the setting of this insight as well, because I have to tell you it is not so much different than this morning. It's 1970, a year after the Ptira of Rav Kahneman. Rav Kahneman is one of the great souls of the Jewish people. He lost his entire family. He was a Rav of Ponovich. He lost, I believe, his town. And he escaped and made it to the land of Israel. And when he got to the land of Israel, he had nothing. And he explains in his philosophical diary, his virtual diary, how he looked at himself and he said, if I survived, then I must have a tremendous purpose in this world. And that's when he decided to reestablish the yeshiva of Ponovich, which till recently was in the land of Israel, perhaps one of the greatest producers of the teachers of Torah, and housed some of the greatest Magidei Shirim. One of the great teachers of Torah in Ponovich is Rav Shmuel Rizovsky. Rav Shmuel Rizovsky is a Talmud of Shimon Shkop. Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, in his time, in the 50s and 60s, was known as one of the greatest teachers of Torah, one of the greatest Magidei Shirim. I've had people come to my home, and when I pepper them with questions and ask them where they come from and who they studied by, if they tell me Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, they tell me about the shir. I had somebody in my home last year. He said, Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, first of all, he's a prince of a man. He conducted himself as a prince. The Kavod HaTorah that he demonstrated by the fashion in which he conducted himself was nothing short of princely. He said when Rav Shmuel Rizovsky explained the Gemara, he used to say the paint of the walls of the Beis HaMedrash understood that point that he was making. He was so concerned that his students understand the passion with which he taught, the care with which he chose the words, and the fashion, and then the princely nature that he ascribed to his teaching. That was Rav Shmuel Rizovsky. So I believe it's 1970, and Rav Shmuel Rizovsky is giving a shir in memory of Rav Kahneman, the man who built his yeshiva. And it's the Yarchei Kala. The Yarchei Kala is the twice a year Kolol Yom Rishon of Ponovich. In other words, the Yarchei Kala is when Jews who have studied in Ponovich, when the yeshiva asks, come back to the yeshiva and study in the yeshiva. And Rav Shmuel Rizovsky explains that this was so important to Rav Kahneman. as important as it was to build the yeshiva and to produce students upon students, he says even more important were the 2 months a year when he asked his alumni to come back and stop, take time from their work, from their parnos, even from their families, and come back to the yeshiva. And Rosh Lubomirsky explains that when he first began, it was a handful of people who used to come. But he would speak with such a passion about the importance of the Yarchei Kala. He says it was as if Rav Kahneman already saw that decades later there would be thousands of students coming back to the yeshiva. And the year after he passed away, Rav Shmuel says, I want to share with you one of the great drushes that Rav Kahneman gave. And it begins with source number 5. The Gemara says, how do we know that Torah, the study of Torah, is even more dear to the Rabboni Shel Olam than the service of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Torah refers us to the 5th parak of Yeshua. Yeshua has his military camp poised to take over the city of Yericho, the first battle that he'll have in the land of Israel. And for some reason, probably for some military reason, Yeshua has delayed the battle effort. And it's the nighttime, the camp is resting. Vahi biyos Yeshua biyericho, the third line of source number 5. Vayiso eino vayar, b'ne'ish omeg l'negdo. He sees, not unlike yesterday's parsha, he sees someone standing next to him, v'charbo shlufo biyado, and his sword is drawn. Vayelech Yeshua elov, and Yeshua approaches him. Vayomer lo, and he says, halonu ato im letzareinu. Right, that's the forerunner of the line in the westerns. Are you with us or are you against us? People my age. Halonu atom letzareinu. Are you with us or are you against us? Vayomer. And he says, Vayomer, and he says, Lo, halonu atem, Vayomer, lo, ki ani sar tzivo Hashem. Right, I'm reading it in the text, you don't have it in front of you, but I'll come back to the Gemara in a moment. I'm a malach. Ato bosi, and now I came. Vayipol Yeshua el ponov, and Yeshua bows down to him. Vayishtachavu. Vayomer Adoni, Mo Adonot Midaber El Abdo, what are you asking me to do? So let's look inside the Gemara. Since the hour is late, let's begin on the last side. It's state number 4. Omalo. The Malach says, the top line of side number 4. Bitaltem emes bitaltem tomid shel bein harabayim. Achshav bitaltem talmud Torah. Yeshua is poised to do battle. The Malach comes to Yeshua and says, you've delayed, you're taking too much time. God is on your side. You should move. Yesterday, because you were involved in the battle formation, you lost the opportunity to bring the korban that you would have brought in the Mishkan that they had in these years. Yachshav, and now no one is studying Torah because you're poised for battle. Omalo, Yeshua said, Al Eizem Eyen Bosa. But why have you come? What's the priority? Omalo, Ato Bosa. I came now. I didn't come this afternoon. I came now at night. That means that I'm more concerned about the study of Torah than about the korban this afternoon. Vayolen Yeshua b'laylu, and Yeshua goes to sleep that night. B'tocha emek, in the valley, is seemingly unnecessary comment. Milamed to Rabbi Yechanan Shalon Ba'omka Shemalacha. He spent the entire night studying Torah. Source number 6. Tosfos says, Atov Basi, now I came. Perish Rivan al Talmud Torah. I came now, and I came because I'm concerned about the study of Torah. Dechsiv Beikat, it says, V'atoh kesvu lachem es ashir azos. It says, now write this song. What's difficult about this conversation? What's difficult about the Mala, about this comment of Tosfos? The Malach says, I'm taking you to task because you weren't studying Torah. And he quotes the pasuk about writing a sefer. V'ato kisvu lachem. What pasuk should he have quoted? Alecha v'derech, parsha from Kriya Shema, right? The mitzvah v'shinantam levanecha, v'limadetem. What else is difficult about the conversation? If you were Yehoshua, what would you have said to the Malach? He said, this is before the days of Hezder. What can I do? We're at battle. We are potter from the study of Torah and poised in battle. So Yeshua should have responded to the Malach. He should have said, but I don't understand. Potter, I'm not obligated in the midst of Talmud Torah. How can you take me to task for it? So for Kahanim had explained, and Shmuel presented, he said, that's what the Tosfos is pointing out. Kadosh Baruch Hu was not upset that they weren't studying Torah, because they were not commanded in the mitzvah to study Torah. They were poised in battle, their mind was in the war effort, required focus and concentration, potter from Talmud Torah. What concerned the Kadosh Baruch Hu is that Torah is the shira, is the song of every Jew. V'ato kisvu lachem es ha-shira zos, ato bosi. What concerned the Rabboni Shel Olam is that Yeshua wasn't moving the war effort quick enough because he had to get the Jews back to the study of Torah. What concerned the Malach is, even at rest, he says, if you're studying Torah because you're obligated to study Torah, I can understand you're not studying Torah right now. But you're studying Torah because it's your song, because it's your life, because it gives meaningfulness to your life. So why aren't they studying Torah now? In their barracks, in their tents. That's what concerns me. Rav Kahaneman used to say, when Jews come to study Torah, whether it's Kol Yom Rishon, or whether it's the Yachid Talon Ponovich, what brings them in to study Torah when they don't have to be at work or be concerned about their jobs? It's because they understand it's Hashira Zos. The Torah gives expression to that which beats at the heart of every Jew. It's how he relates to what Kadosh Baruch Hu, how he understands the Ribbono Shel Olam, how he understands what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from him and wants from her. That's the Shira of Torah. That's where Kahaneman writes and Rabbi Rozovsky writes with great poetry, that when he would see Jews coming together, and he says, when was he asked to do this? When Yeshua was at battle. Because even in the most difficult of times, when you open up any Gemara, Tosfos is on the page. Tosfos was not written with iced tea and Belgian waffles for breakfast. Tosfos was written when Klal Yisrael didn't know if they'd have another day, when there were pogroms. And you could never imagine that if you'd read the Tosfos and the concerns of Tosfos. Because Tosfos represents, and that's what's on the page of every Gemara, it's Hashira Hazos, that it fills Gehem Chayenu, the concerns in the life and the aspirations and the insight of every Jew. If I had to summarize this morning's shir, I would say that we're all about to celebrate a Sefer Torah. that we had to understand why a Sefer Torah is called a Shira, and why the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is called Kisul Lachemes HaShira Zos, I don't think there could be a better summary of the Shira than to say that the Sefer Torah being dedicated this morning is dedicated in honor of one who survived the most difficult times of the Jewish people. But he didn't just survive, because all of his children and grandchildren are shomri mitzvahs and lomdei Torah, the graduates of our yeshiva. That's one of the greatest songs. If we had to understand, we had to remind ourselves of Albert's insight that every Jew fills in the blanks, and that creates one of the greatest songs of the Jewish people. If we had to review that the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah according to Rambam is the mitzvah of writing at the same time as Hester Ponim, you understand what the Rambam is saying. Understand that when we had this morning Sefer Torah, it's the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. It's a mitzvah of rarity, and a mitzvah that speaks of such love, and a mitzvah which is primarily performed by the king of Klal Yisrael, and by, therefore, the sense of royalty that every Jew carries with himself. But when he writes the Sefer Torah in Toshinayin Hay, amongst families that have maintaining the link of a Jew who came through the Shoah and maintained his faith in the greatest moments of Hester Ponim, and was able to transmit that faith and see his faith thrive, then we understand why the Rambam said that the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah is writing Hazinu, and the rest of Torah then has to follow. And I wish the family Mazel Tov, and thank you all for coming to study together in honor of this event.